Welcome to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome to another episode of Rogue Startups. Today's is 216. Craig, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. We earned our freedom. Yesterday was the first day we could all leave the house in 9 weeks, I think. So we celebrated with everybody getting out of the house for about a half day. I took most of the day off work, and yeah, nice to be seeing some semblance of normalcy. Yeah. The light at the end of the tunnel is not the train.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I don't know if you heard what happened out here in Colorado, but there was a cafe, and they're just like maybe 10 minutes south of me here in Denver. They decided on Mother's Day weekend that they were going to open up, and they basically were throwing the middle finger to the governor, social distancing, masks, all of it.
Yeah, I saw that.
All of it. And, you know, they posted this whole thing saying, you know, freedom and America and, you know, don't trample on my rights and stuff like that. And so the next day, the governor gave them the hard slap down.
Yeah.
Took their license away for 30 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And basically it was like, okay, you want to do that? That's great. But we had these things in place. They're for the public health and the public safety, and you've decided to go against them. Sorry, we're pulling your license for 30 days. We'll review it at the end of 30 days to see if you get it back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just don't get it. Like, I see all these protests and stuff, and I'm like, you guys don't know. Like, there is there is a strong possibility we're all going to be doing this again at the end of the summer or sooner. And everybody that is trying to get out of this early is just making that worse. I just don't.
I feel for them. You and I are extremely privileged. In fact, most of our friends are very, very fortunate in that they run businesses that they can run from home.
Yeah.
That is not the case for so many people in our countries, our respective countries. And, you know, it makes my heart ache to know that people can't sustain their livelihoods and do what they want for a living. What I do for a living is so endemic to me that if I couldn't do it anymore, it would cause me great mental anguish. Mm. So, you know, I feel that. I feel that pain. But at the same time, like, you can't be stupid about it. You know, there are reasons that these restrictions are in place. They're not there to piss you off or, you know, cause you grief or make you unhappy. It's for the greater public good. And, you know, it seems like there's a lot of selfish people out there that don't want to balance it. Like, this person could have just done a takeout service out of their cafe and, you know, found a way to sustain themselves that way. It's kind of a middle ground in there, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not trying to flip the bird to the governor, and it's not trying to live off the government dole or somewhere in between, but she chose a hard road for that, and it's unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, I get it. It's a tough time, and, you know, we want to get the hell out of quarantine as well. Things are just getting lifted around here a little bit, but you know, at the same time, I still expect that we're going to see another surge of things, and I don't think it's going to get better. I mean, I'm still worried about my parents that are in their late 80s or early 90s. So that's where the highest death rate is. So I feel like, you know, we have to be extra careful, because if we want to be around them, then we have to make sure we're not, you know, exposing ourselves to things mm-hmm. that if mm-hmm. I take it over to them, I'm going to kill them. There's a good chance I could kill my parents just going over and visiting them. That's really scary.
It's interesting. I think we're just getting into, like, there's phases kind of, you know, the first one is like denial maybe, you know, and this was like January, February. And then there's like shock, which is when we all kind of went into lockdown. And then there's depression maybe, or grief when you're in lockdown for a few weeks and you think your life sucks. And now there's kind of getting to liberty again, or really wanting to, like, you've been in lockdown so long, like, that liberty is the thing on your mind. And now I think a lot of people I'm talking to are saying, like, okay, now we have to figure out how to live with this for the next 2 years. You know, this is not a thing that's this month and next month. This is like, you know, you're hearing like conferences are canceled for 2021 already, you know, like they're like, you know, they're talking about like summer vacation just won't exist here in Europe, which is an enormous thing. Yeah. I, and so that's kind of like mentally for me is like the struggle almost has gone from, okay, we're in confinement or we're not in confinement or whatever, to like, okay, how does my life change for the next several years until every, you know, we have herd immunity, or there's a vaccine, which there might never be, or whatever. And how do, you know, how do I live, and how does my business kind of continue to operate and thrive and stuff, to provide for everybody? Yeah. It's tough. But,
It's tough.
Yeah. So Dave, I think we have some silver lining and some good stuff to talk about this week. Our friends Jane and Benedict from UserList have put together a really cool program called Help Founders. And we're going to be talking about one of the companies today.
Yeah. So the first one that we are going to discuss on this episode is called NodeWood. So if you're wanting to follow along with us here, go to NodeWood.com, NodeWood. And what NodeWood appears to do here is, many of you on the in the audience are probably familiar with Bullet Train. And Bullet Train is basically a Ruby on Rails, it's a Ruby on Rails framework for you to build a SaaS so that you don't have to do things like the user panel and the subscription setup and the basic management aspects, all the boilerplate scaffolding stuff that you have to do for every freaking SaaS. And Andrew Culver has been doing this for a long time now and does a great job at it. Well, Dan from NodeWood has created the same kind of thing, but for Node.js. And I'm looking at this going, wow, if I had had to start Recapture from scratch — Recapture is written in Node.js, for those that may not know — if I had to start the whole thing from scratch, I might actually seriously consider NodeWood as a way to scaffold that more quickly.
Yeah, I love, as a non-technical person, I love these kinds of things because I look at it as just saving our developers time with the stuff that's low value for them to be directly involved in. And for the price, so NodeWood is $295, maybe like per year, so it's a year of updates. I'm not sure if that's like a full-time, like a lifetime license, and then a year of updates, and you have to renew to get the updates or whatnot. But yeah, I mean, I look at this as like, if I can save our developers a month of that boilerplate stuff to go actually develop the features that make our app do valuable things, that's absolutely fantastic. And I like the site a lot. It's really pretty. I like this pink and orange gradient. It reminds me of Write Message a little bit. So yeah, really cool looking tool. And I love the idea here.
Yeah, I mean, it's got some great stuff in there. So, you know, if you're a big fan of Tailwind, they actually have that built into the framework as well. They use Vue on the front end, and they've even got it integrated into Vagrant. So that's similar to Docker, to allow you to basically configure a virtual machine and stand this thing up. So, I mean, the cost of a fully loaded developer is significantly higher than $295. So if this is your stack and you want to get started with a SaaS right out of the gate and you don't want to build all the scaffolding stuff for it, I mean, really nobody does. You want to just get to the good stuff, the meat of the application. This is going to be a really big leg up for you if you want to do it on the Node stack.
Yeah, and I think just another note on this is I just love what Jane and Benedict are doing with Help Founders. So if you're a founder and you have kind of a new app or something that you want to get a little more kind of word out there for, just go to userlist.com and hit them up and ask about the Help Founders program. I think they're taking people on an application basis, so they'll ask you a little bit about the business and kind of your unique value proposition and things like that. And we'll be talking about a different tool, I think, every week here, Dave, for, you know, until they tell us to stop. And I think we're really happy to be able to help folks like Dan from NodeWood out. A lot of us, or all of us, I think the hardest time is just to get that initial traction. So, you know, if our podcast can bring awareness to some of these new tools, that's really cool. And we'll be doing this until Jane tells me to stop, I think, right?
Pretty much. All right, moving on. So, Craig, how the hell is COVID-19 kicking your business in the balls or lifting you up out of the mud and throwing you into the atmosphere? Because it seems like those are the only two places that people are ending up right now. I don't hear a lot of businesses that are like, oh yeah, everything's pretty much the same.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, yeah, I mean, we've talked about before, anybody that has anything to do with in-person stuff is getting killed. If things that are mission critical, I think maybe are doing okay. But yeah, we're one of the few kind of positive beneficiaries of folks, you know, being remote and working remote and not being able to see their friends. We've had a really good last 2 months, and I think, you know, some of it is due to the awesome work that we're all doing, but I think some of it is just due to the environment that we're in, but trying to capitalize on it and keep the momentum going as much as we can. Cause I think talking about like living with this for a long time, some of that dynamic will change, you know, like as we get into the summer and the fall and stuff like that, people will be getting to normal and some of the economic impact might be coming that we just haven't yet because the governments have been propping everybody up. So we're doing really well, which is really cool, but trying to continue to position ourselves as good as we can for whatever's coming down the line.
Yeah. You know, e-commerce has been a wild ride. I won't lie. This is really bizarre. So for those that may not be tuned into the space, the news from Shopify was that in April, every single day had Black Friday level traffic. So that's 30 sustained days of what is normally a 4 to 5, maybe 7 day event tops, which is just outright crazy. And I don't, if you've looked at like Shopify's first quarter numbers or their quarterly report, I mean, their stock is way up, signups are way up. Everybody is, you know, there's just a ton of energy, a ton of excitement, a ton of engagement in e-commerce right now. And it's, you know, I mean, there are definitely winners and losers in the space. It's not all sunshine and roses for everybody. Like the clothing space, clothing and fashion have taken some of the biggest hit. Surprisingly, luxury brands have had a small bump, but essentials are definitely through the roof. Food delivery is through the roof. A lot of electronics and toys and games and things like that all through the roof because, you know, what the hell are people doing in quarantine? They're playing toys and games and they're on their electronics, right?
Yep.
So there's just a lot of activity and energy in there. And so, you know, a lot of people are asking questions like, well, what happens to e-commerce after coronavirus is over? You know, I don't really have a crystal ball. None of us do. But if I had to take an educated guess, when we make shifts culturally and in our consumer behaviors, they kind of tend to stay there until something pushes them out of the way. And I feel like this is one of those pushing events where we've now pushed a bunch of people towards something that they haven't normally done on a regular basis, like grocery delivery, for example. We've signed up and started using grocery delivery more than we did before. And it seems like a lot of other people are doing that because it is a really hard thing to get a slot to deliver groceries right now. And it's not just here. I hear it, you know, all over the country, in Chicago and Seattle and Los Angeles. All of those places are all seeing similar problems. So I definitely am seeing a large shift in consumer behavior for things like that. And it seems like e-commerce went from, you know, 12% of total annual sales, if you looked at just sort of the whole commerce sector of retail in general, to somewhere around 30% right now, I've heard.
Well, yeah.
And that's huge. I mean, you've more than doubled, almost tripled in a very short period of time. And that is a marker of some behavioral changes. And long term, I don't know what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is it going to shift back a little bit? It might shift back a little bit, but I think we've seen some pretty massive changes that are going to be hard to undo even as we go into a post-COVID world.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think about a bit e-commerce, but a bit about kind of just remote work in general, because, you know, everyone has had to work remotely. And I think that you'll see some people, and I know some people that had very, very kind of corporate in-person jobs in the office every day, now kind of going to planning on going to at least flex, you know, 3 days in the office and 2 days at home long term. And I think the one thing that both of these definitely kind of talk to is commercial real estate, which I don't think directly affects any of us. But you got to believe commercial real estate is the one kind of sure bet to get hammered with this, is whether it's retail or commercial office space. I can't see that will be growing, you know, after COVID. And a lot of those are just going to get shut down. But I think that kind of generally there's going to be either continuing with these trends or a reaction to them. And I think that that will be the interesting thing of like, a lot of us want to support our local stores. And so when confinements are lifted, instead of shopping on Amazon, are you going to go try to find that thing in your local mom and pop shop? Employers that the employees want to work from home, but the management kind of says like, yeah, but like, I know our productivity is down. So no, you have to come into the office. Like, I don't know which way that's going to go, but I do agree that like, we've been pushed in this direction. Momentum will kind of say that we're going to continue going that direction unless there's an event or kind of stimulus to pull us back the opposite way. I don't know.
Right. No, I mean, commercial real estate is, we're going to see that take a bath in the next 18 months.
Yeah.
That's a strong prediction. And I don't think that's a very controversial prediction at this point.
No.
Given the circumstances and the retail businesses that are in there and how they've been impacted and what their revenue stream looks like. And yeah, commercial real estate is going to get reshaped. What's going to be interesting is to see how it reshapes.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, you know, I mean, we have all these buildings. We're not just going to tear them all down because nobody's using them anymore. Something is going to happen. Something is going to change how they get used. And I don't know what that looks like right now. And somebody way smarter than me is out there thinking about that and probably trying to come up with a way to repurpose those so they can take advantage of this new resource that's suddenly coming available. And I don't know what that looks like, but that's going to be an interesting thing. I'm definitely going to be watching that with great interest over the next 18 months.
Yep.
But the other thing that you mentioned that I wanted to comment on was the Amazon thing. So that has shifted even our behavior. So we have been loyal Amazon users for a very long time. In fact, when I started dating my wife over 17 years ago, that was something that she was very into at the time. And I really, you know, she was a very early Prime user. I had never used it before. Hadn't really even paid much attention to Amazon besides just book stuff. But she was an avid user of it on the early days. And so it's always been like when our first kid came around, we ordered an entire Christmas off of Amazon. No joke.
Nice.
That was the best ever because we were like, we can't go out, you know, we're just too tired.
Yeah.
And we had like, you know what it is with young babies. You have narrow windows of time. When you're out, you've got to be dealing with things with the baby all the time. So they need to be fed. They need to be changed. They want to be paid attention to. It's like you don't have 2 hours of dedicated shopping time if you're trying to get stuff for your family and your friends and each other. Yeah, it just doesn't happen. So we just said, fuck it. We sat down one night, got on my computer and shopped on Amazon. So, you know, that was a long time ago. That was like 2004, 2005. And since then, you know, we've continued to use Amazon quite a bit. But as soon as COVID hit, and, you know, for anybody who's using Amazon out there, you've seen these lengthy shipping times where it used to be, oh, you know, 2 days. Okay, sure. I'll get that now and I don't have to go to the store. Now it's like 2 weeks. Or 4 weeks, or, you know, because they prioritized essentials over non-essentials. So anything that you were ordering from Amazon that was considered non-essential, just forget trying to get it in a reasonable time period. So that forced my wife and I to say, all right, look, we could be shopping at other places. And so now we are actually actively seeking out local businesses that have an online presence. So for example, we're looking to get some stuff to entertain the kids for the summer, because you said, you know, we're totally canceling the summer. You know, we had a bunch of plans to go traveling in various places and camping. We don't even know if these places are going to be open. So we have to, and we had, you know, summer camps planned for the kids. That's all off the table. You know, all of those things, it all changed. So now we got to find a new way to entertain them. So we're looking for local companies to do things like a trampoline, and we got a slip and slide and some other stuff so they can do it in the backyard and, you know, with smaller groups of people and safer. But, it was a conscious decision on our part to look for somebody who was local and online so that we could go and support a local business and at the same time also make sure that, you know, we got it in a reasonable time frame, that we're not going to wait 3 months. Oh, well, summer's over. Too bad, you know?
Yeah, we've done a little bit of that here too. So like, yeah, bookstores, shoes, like, a lot of the stuff we would have gotten on Amazon, now you go to the shoe store, try stuff on, oh, it's not the right size. Yeah, but I want this in this size. Okay, it'll be here in 2 days. Just come pick it up. It's great. I mean, and it's significantly faster. I mean, shit, Amazon France is entirely closed as of today. And it's been that way for about 2 weeks, I think.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, that's, they had, you know, some, they weren't abiding by the health rules and personal safety stuff for the employees, and the government shut them down. So like, we can't even shop on Amazon right now, which is cool. So I think it's nice to be able to support these local stores online, or kind of whatever, hybrid online. Yeah. And it's, in a lot of ways, it's a better experience. And I think it bridges that gap of like, on Amazon, you can never go like, you know, try something on or see it in person. If it's not the right color, just order it and get it in 2 days. This is kind of that, I don't know, maybe this is like what a lot of people have been looking for, especially like with apparel and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And this might start to force other things, like I've seen a lot of VR, you know, oh, I want to try on a pair of shoes virtually. I'm like, I don't see how that works, right? Yeah. Like, shoes are such a feel experience, but there are a lot of people that, you know, they keep talking about this as a hype thing. I just don't see it quite yet. But if we're still stuck at home, then obviously you're going to have to figure out different ways to be able to try on clothes and see what you look like and et cetera, et cetera. And just, you know, roll the dice on the whole feel and fit thing. But, you know, at least, you know, you're eliminating some of the variables out of that equation, so to speak, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, specifically with Recapture, have you guys been doing anything, features or campaigns or anything like that recently that, that you've seen kind of making a difference or changing how you're interacting with customers?
Well, mostly, mostly what I'm seeing right now is that, you know, we've been buying Shopify ads and the price of those is steadily increasing. Hmm. So I see a lot more of my competition getting in there and buying ads, which jacks the price of the ads up for me. And so I'm still seeing a decent level of traffic. I'm still seeing a decent level of engagement from it, but it's getting more expensive. Mm. So my ad spend is probably up maybe 25, 50% right now. It's still worth it for me to do that. But, you know, there's a point at which I'm not going to be able to really double down or keep it open at this level. I'm going to have to just let it ride at a certain level and say, all right, that's what I get, which will suck, but that's what I'm able to afford at the moment. And, you know, in terms of other things, you know, we had a couple of glitches where people brought their store online and it, you know, did some weird things to our infrastructure because they're seeing a ton of traffic. Therefore we get a lot of that traffic. And, you know, I hadn't really, when we get to Black Friday every year, there's always like I call it the paranoid prep time. And that's like 2 weeks before, where we basically, we do a full review of our infrastructure. We check all of the servers. We make sure everything's up to date. We do some load testing, and then we do preparatory infrastructure setup. So we put some stuff on hot standby, and then we have things that we think are ready to handle the bulk of the traffic. And then if there's an emergency, I can add stuff in dynamically. But that level of prep, I haven't done this time. And yet we've seen this huge amount of traffic. So there have been a few minor glitches here and there where, you know, we've been overrun by a store that basically was sending us too much stuff. And, you know, we found a way to recover. But, you know, it's just like, okay, there's a day gone with my developers as they go chase down the production problem and try to solve it and get that all done. So we're seeing, you know, some of those events. So they're not necessarily working on other things. And then we've got new customers that are coming on that are really big, and they're asking us all kinds of questions. Well, what about this? And if I add this other integration, does it do this? And so I'm seeing more support from that perspective. And then the other thing is, you know, we still have these other big features that we're planning to push out here in the summer. And, you know, I've had to up hours of my developers in order to be able to continue to handle production support, handle production customer support questions, and do the features. So, you know, that's really what's changed with Recapture right now. I don't have another channel to open up. We're working on a couple more of those as well. But, you know, all of our bandwidth is fairly limited. So, you know, we're kind of splitting our time across multiple things here, trying to keep all the balls in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Is most of your like new revenue from Shopify now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Nice. That's awesome.
Occasionally I still get a Magento store that comes in here. Like I just had one sign up and they linked three stores and they're going to hit our top tier next month.
That's awesome, man.
But that's not common. Most of my new leads are coming from Shopify, but they're not as big as stores. Like when I get a Magento store, chances are they're a pretty big store if they're signing up.
Interesting.
It's just very different platforms. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. From our end, we pushed out a really big feature about a week ago. So we call it Castos Productions. It is basically podcast motor within the Castos app. So Dave, for us, now we go and upload the episode files here right in the Castos dashboard. They get sent to the team. They do editing, show notes, marketing assets, and publish all like right within the app for us. So as opposed to like the kind of fangled Dropbox and Trello and email setup that we have on Podcast Motor, for all of our new customers, a lot of new customers coming in from Castos, at least, they're using the Castos Productions kind of UI and workflow, which is cool because I think it allows us to do the same service with a lot more automation and less kind of manual handholding and checking and stuff. Yeah, it's a really cool kind of workflow and how it all works. We spent a lot of time getting that part of it right because, you know, technically it's not that hard, but it's a lot of workflow stuff that spent a lot of time with our UI guy and everything. So that was cool to get that out because it's been a long time coming. It's a little bit like, and I even considered kind of not launching it now because from an economic perspective, it's not the right time to launch a kind of premium feature like that. But went ahead anyhow and are seeing people kind of signing up for it, which is cool. And I think we'll probably plan to kind of relaunch it again when, you know, things are settled down and people are like kind of financially more confident or capable even. So that was kind of like the mixed bag there. Was really cool to get it out. The response from people that are using it is awesome so far and cool to be able to get like a, you know, quite a bit higher price tier in there for some of our customers. You know, it will always be like the vast minority of our customers that will want to do the service. But even if it's just kind of lead gen for that service, that's really cool. Yeah. And then I think from here for us, from like a product perspective, looking at doing a lot more small things for the next, I don't know, several months, which is kind of cool. Like doing this really big feature was, I think, mentally exhausting for a lot of us. And now to think like, okay, we're going to redo the UI on this one page and we're going to do, you know, this one thing with, you know, triggering and data and spend 2 weeks doing this. And it's cool to have a little more relaxed set of projects that are all kind of small. I think it gives everybody like me and our developers a little more kind of peace of mind that like the urgency of a lot of this is more manageable, which I think everybody needs right now. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Mentally, you know, I don't know what you guys have been going through on your side over there, but I feel like I'm on way more of a roller coaster now mentally than I have been in a long time, where there are some days where I feel kind of energized and I'm like, ooh, yeah, it's spring. All right. I can do this. Sunny and bright out today. Got a lot to do. I'm excited about this. And then the next day it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, do I have to sit in front of the computer all day?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it doesn't really even matter what I'm working on. It's just like this mental constant up and down that is really a drag. And I, you know, I'm generally a pretty level person when it comes to emotions. I mean, I can feel things in certain stressful situations or we're about to go on a trip and I can feel more excited, but this just feels like the peaks and valleys are much, much bigger than they normally are as a result of all of this stuff. So my productivity is just all over the place. Like some days I feel like I've crawled across the finish line, bleeding. I lost a leg somewhere on the course. I don't know where. I made a tourniquet out of my headband and I'm like thankful that I'm, you know, not dead crossing the finish line. And other days I'm just like trotting across. I'm all, yeah, this is a great day, you know? And it doesn't always seem like there's a lot of in between sometimes, which is super weird, but that really has been doing a number on my productivity. So, you know, my developers will come to me and be like, all right, we're ready to work on this thing today, Dave. And I'm like, yeah, I can't. I can't give you guidance on that today. It's going to have to be tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go work on this other thing. All right. That's fine.
Yeah. And then I totally hear what you mean. And then like the worst part for me is then I feel guilty about feeling bad because we're really lucky, like you said, right? I mean, we are healthy and, you know, financially relatively stable and business is growing and I still feel bad and dejected and demoralized sometimes. Then I'm like, why do I feel like this? This is not right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I don't know if it's survivor's guilt or whatever, but yeah, I mean, whatever it is, this is a tough time. And you know, if you're out there and you're feeling all of these things too, believe me, you are not alone on this. And if you're not feeling these things, there's nothing wrong with you either. I don't want to state that. Maybe your emotional coping mechanisms are very different than mine and this is an okay time for you and that's great. And maybe every day is you're feeling like that finish line tourniquet, you know, lost a leg headband thing. That's, you know, I mean, you are you and you're going to have your own unique emotions and experiences in this. And I'm not trying to tell anybody that their feelings are right or wrong, but you know, this has definitely been an unprecedented time for emotional upheaval. And you know, it's been a long time since I've felt anything of this magnitude for this length of time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, trying to, I like it, it applies a lot on a personal level, but I think trying to bring it back to a business level is the uncertainty I feel like is what is all our job right now and kind of managing and planning for all of the possible, as many of the possible kind of permutations and outcomes of what could be coming. That's kind of how I look at it is yeah, I feel like this, which is weird and changing and all this kind of stuff. And that's fine. And I kind of give myself the grace to feel bad, but longer term and bigger picture kind of say, all right, I just need to be thinking about putting us in the right position or giving us as many options to be in the right position for what will be coming later. And I think the one of the biggest things about that is like being a profitable company gives you a lot of options there. Like I feel really bad for some of these venture track companies that have to perform and have a lot of pressure on them and they can't do anything about it. You know, like that's rough. I mean, for us, if we kind of flatline for a while, like, yeah, I think this Honey Seed folks wouldn't be thrilled, but they understand, you know?
Bootstrapped and profitable all the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a good time to be bootstrapped. Yeah. Yeah. Just because you have as much optionality as possible to adapt and take advantage of what's coming. Yeah.
And so with that, we would love to hear from all of you. If you have a story about how you're doing right now or a topic that you'd like us to talk about more on the air, or you'd like to hear me, you know, come up with more bad analogies about what my emotional state is, send us an email, podcast@roguestartups.com. We'll see what we can do about that. And as always, our one ask is, if you felt that this episode or our podcast is valuable to you, please share it with a friend that you think we could help too. Until next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.